I remember years ago in seminary that I became acquainted with the term a canon within the canon. This phrase was implying that most of us have portions of Scripture that are central to our faith. Passages that you could probably quote from heart that somehow have always fit into your working theology, and they speak to your heart. You trust them and you use them often to explain what may be happening in the moment. Here are a couple of mine from Romans. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. And then Paul's strange but challenging testimony. I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You see how old that is for me because I'm using the King James. Or in the Old Testament, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. And then perhaps the verse that has converted me more times than I care to admit over my lifetime, from Psalm. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. He reached down from on high and he took me. He placed me in a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. These have been a few of my canons within the canon, and I know if we went around this morning, most of you could quote your own. But you're probably already thinking of a potential problem, aren't you? That is, if you focus on your canon with a little c, you'll avoid the canon with a big C. That is, our holy scriptures. We hear each Sunday as the gospeler prepares to read, as she did just now, the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or following the Old Testament or the epistle, we say, the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. We believe that all of it has meaning and all of it is our teacher, our source of wisdom, our inspiration. It is indeed God's holy word. Isn't that why we all rise each Sunday when we process it into the middle of the congregation? So, it will probably not surprise you, after all this introduction, that this gospel text from Luke's chapter 17 is not one of my canon little c within the canon big C. But the Episcopal Church, by virtue of our revised common lectionary, will not abide my ambivalence and my rejection, and instead reminds me of the privilege of this pulpit and the privilege of proclaiming the good news, and it will not allow me to avoid those holy texts which, quite frankly, drive me crazy. So I invite you, along with me this morning, to search for the hope that I always believe is embedded in the gospel. Help me find the good news this morning. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I remember when I had a little gold necklace with a pendant hanging on it. It's a tiny glass globe, and within that globe was a mustard seed, right. See, you all had one too, didn't you? I wore that necklace for quite a few years of my young life, along with many of my friends. I wore it as a reminder that faith is powerful. And I wanted to constantly remind myself that if I had enough faith, if it was strong enough, I could do miraculous things. That's what those words of Luke said to my then concrete operational thinking mind. If I just believed, had enough faith, then I could move that tree. Enough faith, I could. And eventually I realized I just couldn't. There are those days for many of us when we think and pray concretely, even now. There are those days when our prayers seemingly fail and the door we prayed to open did not. The person we wanted desperately to live did not. The relationship we wanted to survive did not. The tree we wanted to move did not. This passage from Luke's gospel has been confusing and discouraging at times, and at other times for me meaningless. Even when I moved beyond my belief that the text actually had anything to do with moving trees, I still felt it was too vague. Its meaning was unclear. I pushed it away and focused on the scripture that I could relate to out of the reality of my life. And then last Saturday, I read the gospel assigned for today. And so I did what I often do in these situations. I pulled out the Message by Eugene Peterson. He's translated the Bible in contemporary language. Peterson was a biblical scholar and a writer that I greatly admired. I often read the Message as a way to clarify scripture that I find confusing. So here is his translation. The apostles came up and said to the master, "Give us more faith." But the master said, "You don't need more faith. There is no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you could say to the sycamore tree, 'Go jump in the lake,' and it would obey you." Peterson is lifting in his translation something very different that does not depend on the amount of our faith. He's saying, if you have faith, it is enough. It's not a question of more. It's a statement of it is enough. It's as though the question of increase our faith is the wrong question. And the better question would be, how do we live more faithfully? And how do I live more faithfully in the faith that is mine? And that question leads us into the second part of this gospel, Jesus' example of the master and his slave. If you will allow me a parenthetical moment, please. The choice to use an example from that historical era, which was a social and economic fact, slavery. While having logic in terms of choosing something familiar to his disciples and their life context has always made it difficult for me to explore and even learn from this example. And this week in particular, the subject has come painfully into my awareness. In Just Faith this past Thursday night, we learned about the reality of modern human slavery. The images from videos, the compiled statistics and facts related to this, and this is probably a low estimate, related to the estimate of 21 to 27 million children and teenagers and adults living as property and in appalling situations was deeply disturbing to our group. Most of us were unaware of the reality as it was presented. And so I say personally to you this morning, that being faced with this reality in our gospel, although from a different era, has prevented me in the past from being able to see good news in this example. But thank goodness I've learned that sometimes I have to pull apart the factual historical context and hear the message, which does in fact transcend the facts. And then there's another reason. This is the holy gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Close parentheses. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, "Come here at once and take your place at the table"? Would you not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me? Put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later, you may eat and drink." Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. And so now again, I turn to my friend Peterson. And he translates, does the servant get special thanks for doing what's expected of him? It's the same for you. When you've done everything expected of you, be matter of fact and say, the work is done. What we were told to do, we did. I was reminded recently of an interview done with Denzel Washington sometime last year. I have so enjoyed watching Mr. Washington grow in his ability as a fine actor through the years. The movie he did that I found most powerful was John Q. Do any of you remember it? John Q? I don't think it was a very popular movie. The power was both in its message and in his amazing portrayal of a hard-working father who, in confronting the reality of health insurance and hospital policy, could not afford the cost of surgery that would save his young child's life. He was confronting a no on all fronts, not enough money, not enough insurance. His love for his family, his son was so great, his commitment as a father to protect and provide life for his son finally led him to become violent as he refused to allow his son to die. The movie lifts the painful reality of the working poor in this country and the complicity of our health insurance systems and medical institutions and so many other entities involved. Their complicity in making the cost of health care too much for too many. Mr. Washington's character, John Quincy Archibald, lifts that critical question of how far will I go to protect mine? The movie is one of many that honor this actor's abilities and his gifts. And so in this interview with Denzel Washington, the interviewer asked one of those questions that go deeper. She acknowledged that he'd been nominated countless times in his career for acting awards for his work. And in many cases, he did not receive the award. She asked how he felt about that. He smiled and said that his mother used to say to him, man gives the award, God gives the reward. And he concluded, I don't need another plaque. While there might have been disappointment at the time, no award could compare to the joy he expressed he had had in his development and his work as an actor. I think he was saying that that was his reward. He described the privilege, and he even used the word blessing, of the work that he had been able to do in his life. And that surpassed everything else and was his satisfaction. So, if Eugene Peterson's translation is as provocative to you as it is to me, then what does it mean to realize that you have enough faith and therefore you are enough? The message is not to increase, but to live more fully in your faith. Do you think that might relate to the work that you do, whether volunteer work or paid work? Yes, I think it must. Oh, I hope that along the way, the awards and the gratitude expressed has come your way as your work has provided the space and the place where that faith can be lived, and even in some moments where big trees will move. But the bottom line of this gospel this morning is that we are called to work. We are called to the faith that we claim, and we do not expect to be thanked or rewarded. The work is done, and what we were told to do, we did. And that, my friends, is the good news.